amendments and, you know, statements and of intent and so on. But in this round, let's keep it, you know, concise, snappy, so that we give a lot of colleagues an opportunity. And of course, we can also raise issues from the previous round. So thank you very much. Thanks for the presentation. Maybe a few questions from my side. I think one of the reasons we've also invited the police station and the cluster commander is because in some instance this is reflective of a lot of areas in South Africa, the issues that is there. And my first question is, why did we wait for an incident or protest before we say we're going to address the issues of drug dens, we're going to address the other issues that was mentioned in the presentation? We've got now national, provincial involved. Why did we wait? And that goes back to the issue of back to basics, the six elements. Now, one of the elements, I think, Acting Commissioner, in your presentations last year, was the issue of an intelligence-driven approach. Now, I see additional tasking to CI, but if the cluster is operating optional, if there's leadership at cluster and provincial level, that should be part of your normal policing practices. You have picked it up, now you must send additional resources from elsewhere to intervene, and the next few days in Pretoria, West Attridgeville, it can become problematic. So my question is, from the cluster's perspective as well, if back to basics is implemented effectively, the elements, the intelligence-driven approach, why do we need to wait for the community to erupt before we move in? Because if this, let's say, crime patterns that's been described as reflective of many urban areas, why do we wait? If we know there's drug dens, if we know there's crime syndicates, if we know there's illegal prostitution taking place and other related incidents, if we know there's high flyers, why do we wait? That I can't understand, and I want explanation on that. Let's go to the other members. Honourable Musongu.
No, that I think I've got two areas, Chairperson. One, I wonder, Chair, if maybe before I can get into my question, whether then we will have maybe, according to your planning, an arrangement of also touching base with the JMPD there, so that we can have an understanding of the kind of bylaws, because to me, there seems to be a problem also with our bylaws. We can't have a situation whereby then we've got abandoned buildings and bylaws are not kicking in to actually then assist in the situation of the law-abiding citizens. But then my question, Chair, it somehow borders on what you have asked. Somewhere in the report, there is an indication that the community patterns are changing, or they have rapidly changed. I wonder then if and only if the crime intelligence has a much more closest kind of intelligence, has got some kind of cooperation with our National Intelligence Agency in order to be able to do earlier predictions of what could actually happen and begin to send those early warning shots to the authorities, so that then they can be, we cannot actually expect the communities to say, up until communities march on, I saw even on a television, Chairperson, for example, I think it was the one white guy who was complaining that he was pointing at a house that to say, in this house I've been complaining to police that these people are running prostitution and drug smuggling from this house, but nothing has happened. In fact, it was very, very, very concerning. Now, even only if there is no kind of coordinated action between the two spheres of intelligence. I wonder then, even only if Chairperson, we cannot expect the same, maybe boiling up somewhere in the parts of the country. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'd like to preface my concise comments and two questions by saying or giving the disclaimer that they're informed by impressions and knowledge that is just over a year old. I will admit that, so I'm happy to admit the margin for error. But I've been on the ground in the Moffat View Police Precincts. As I mentioned earlier, I did a day-long oversight program there, and it was a mess. That was the overall impression I got. And I'd like to suggest, as a starting point, that the presentation we got from the cluster commander is the theory. That's the theoretical plan of what should happen and what ideally the SAPs would like to happen. I have very serious doubts that it is consistently the operational reality on the ground. The range and the volume of complaints and grievances around policing in this precinct does not match what you would expect would be the fruits yielded by this presentation. And Chairperson, it all shortcomings that are rooted in the problem of the four U's that I always make mention of: understaffing, under-resourcing, under-equipping, and under-training at station level. Three very quick examples. We went to an abandoned duplex building in Residentville. Chair, it was something out of a post-apocalyptic movie. People have been burning fires in there. There's rubbish piled up for years in the back of it, and it's all been reported. We walked outside and we were shown a nightclub where they said, we see police going in this nightclub at appointed times on a weekly basis to get their bribes. I went to a school where the principal showed me, she said, if I stand at the fence at this point, there's that house across the park there, drug deals happen through that gate, we can see them, we've taken photos, given them to the police, nothing happens. So and this is a year ago. Some things may have changed and improved, but that was what I heard, and it was very heartfelt hearing it from people on the ground. If you look, Chairperson, at the issue of how the Moffat View Station became fully fledged from being a satellite, when I went to visit the station commander and his team, many of the components in the police station were still operating out of containers and prefab structures. And this was now 3 years after the fact, because Public Works is not coming to the table, and is a failure on their part. So unless we address those basics of the resourcing and the operational systems, we're not going to get very far in addressing some very deep rooted problems in this precinct. And the only silver lining I can point to from my experience in that community is that the community outrage about the crime situation in Residentville has united the residents across racial lines. That's the one silver lining, is that the crisis is so bad that black, white, colored, Indian in Residentville are just united, and they've become cohesive because that is the one major issue that they're facing. And so my questions, Chair, I've got two questions. The one element that is missing that I didn't see in the presentation was an element about addressing the allegations of police corruption and collusion in the drug crime and other syndicate crime that is happening and is rooted in a Residentville. What is happening to address that? Because that is what is undermining what good work might be done or what interventions might be happening and being implemented to address the issues as outlined in the presentation. So corruption, collusion, which would be the few bad apples. I don't want to suggest that it's endemic and absolutely everyone involved, but to nip those to nip those buzz where they are, and prevent it becoming an entrenched cancer in how it, in how police operations are run there. And then my second question is to the station commander, because he hasn't had a chance yet to give his input. One of the commitments that I remember came out of the meeting with the station commander was that there would be a reporting hotline made available to the community for them to make reports that the police station would follow up on. Is that still happening? Is that yielding fruits? Or is that dead in the water and therefore not addressing the issue of the relationship between the community and the police to address the issues? Thanks, Chair.
Well, thank you, Honourable Chair. Just maybe two questions. What I'm not hearing, General, is the issue about building of relationship or building of partnership with communities in a big way. For an example, there's a statement made that when you are looking for, when you want to get a witness statement, you can't get the witness statement. So obviously, if you don't get a witness statement, otherwise from communities, then you are basically on your own. It suggests that there must be concerted effort of addressing that issue of partnership with communities. And I hear the issue about the CBF that you've been running workshop. But I think at upscaling of that partnership, because the whole thing about trust and people wanting to come forward with a statement, if they are not trusting the system yet, they will not come forward in the statement. So that's the main major issue that you'll have to address. The second thing that well, I'm not familiar with this community. I haven't been there. I would like to be and see. There's a statement that people are gone. The general says people are gone. Now, I don't know where they are gone to. The houses are empty, the grass is cut, is clean, but the people are gone. Maybe if you can just explain this gone, I don't know where they are gone to as a result of what. Maybe that will help me to understand the situation, because you kept saying that, that there's no... There are no people. People are gone. But those are two clarity for me that I need to get. But otherwise, I think in terms of the, when you look at the objectives of the plan and what the plan seeks to achieve, I think it's going in the right direction.
Honourable Member, Honourable Markey, thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just two questions. And maybe I need to say that I've got a friend there at the Rosetten Rim who has been shot 3 times around the same place. And the third time they woke him up, took his car with him in there, and maybe just to mention that. The first question would be, if I heard very correctly, 7 houses have been burned and the owners haven't even reported to the police. The police can't find them. I wonder what that means. The house is burned and you are not killed and nobody can account for you. 7 houses. They haven't come forward as yet. I don't know what that means. If that could be. So the police don't know whose houses they are, where are those people, and so it tends to tell us something. And the hijacking of houses, in practical terms, what does that mean? Does it mean somebody come into your house and say you must go, and you have got to go. That's my understanding. Or they say people simply come and take your house. How does that happen? I mean, is that what we mean, hijacking? Or hijacking, is it open houses that are there and people move in? That brings me to what Honorable Ramatlakane was saying. A house is clean and the gates are locked and there's nobody. It's gone. That's what Honorable Ramatlakane was saying. And what happens? I mean, that happens even in Berea or areas like those, that the whole flat is bought or hijacked and is locked. Nobody gets in there. What does the law say about that? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. I've been listening to the report given this one. Now I'd like to know, it's okay, I accept this, but then I just want to know if the police has engaged in dialogue with relevant stakeholders, and who are they, and what was the outcome of that. And again, on the box, I saw Rosettenville communities complaining that the police involvement with drug dealers, and what investigation has been done into those allegations so far, so that at least we know, because it's worrisome, and I will urge SAPS not to do spade work at Rosettenville only. Sometimes I see the reports that police were raiding Kaile. But then let it spread in the whole provinces, because Limpopo Hange, I have never seen raidings happening. And that is deep rural. Most of the police stations, they are in deep rural. And things are happening there. And that's the entry point of the foreigners from that side. And raids like what types of raids that need to be there. They need to bring improvement, because Shangul Kuchinyaranga Hange, whilst to concentrate on locations, suburbs, and so on, Limpopo Mapungwa Kuchinyara, please consider Limpopo. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for your presentations. I've got three questions. One of the issues raised by the community of Rosettenville was the issue of child prostitution and the impact of drug culture amongst young people. What intervention has been implemented to save children from such a situation? My second question, what are the possible implications of what is happening in Rosettenville, and how can this be mitigated? My last question, what educational program do you have in place to educate the community about the dangers of drugs? Thank you, Chairperson.
Just two further ones from my side. I just want to know, because we saw Rosette involved, then there was a move to Pretoria West. We heard the reports this morning on the media. Friday, what's coming? I just want to know in terms of contingency planning. Not that we're going to 2007, but I just want to know from a back to basics perspective, is the police ready to deal with it from an intelligence point of view? The paint blue principle, is that going to be used? Because I saw reports on Pretoria West where people said, well, the police just stood by while people were attacking or, you know, robbing houses and so on. So is there going to be the necessary, you know, planning? I saw Nigeria has raised the matter with the African Union of the citizens in South Africa. So it's a serious issue. So I think the committee needs assurance that what might happen in the next few days, SAPS is ready to deal with it, and you've got the necessary contingency planning ready in Gauteng. We need that information. Then I just want to know from the station commander and the cluster commander whether the head of management intervention in Gauteng at national level, it's not General Cruiser, it's one of his deputies, have visited that station before the unrest. I just want to get an indication. Before the community protest erupted, in the preceding period, was there any visit from the Lieutenant General that is allocated to Gauteng, to that precinct? Thank you. General Patlani.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. I think Honorable Mhlongo raised a very important issue earlier with the audio which is circulating of a person who is kind of saying South Africans must be attacked wherever they are because of the xenophobic attacks. And I listened to that. He was giving some statistics over the years, the number of people attacked and so on, which we must all, Honorable Chair, discourage. We cannot have an audio circulating, inciting people in the manner that that person does. And I found it interesting because that which is said in that audio is not so far different from what one of the people said in Pretoria after the Saturday situation. We are hard at work trying to trace that particular person who is responsible for that recording. I'm mentioning that, Chair, to answer your question of our readiness. We, under normal circumstances, will be saying we are ready, that we will deploy our people. Our concentration was in those areas which intelligence would have suggested that something is imminent. Mamelodi is one which has been brewing over the past few weeks. We know that there was a march which is planned for Friday. So those where we had something tangible suggesting that something is being planned, the necessary plans are there to be able to deal with the situation. Now, I'm mentioning the audio to say you can expect a surprise element because nowhere did we think of this thing being at that scale. Now, how many people receive that audio and how many people are going to react based on that particular audio. Chair, our plans are in place. In addition to what the provincial team has reported following the incident, honourable members would have noted that some of the ministers, in particular the Minister of Home Affairs, Minister Gigaba, visited the area. There was last week a JCPS cluster meeting of the ministers who have, amongst others, given directives that resulted in us activating the net joints to conduct operations from a multidisciplinary perspective. And those operations were done, and they continue to be conducted in those areas which are a little bit problematic. So I don't want to say to say here that all is well, because there are some unclean things that get operationalized by the people without an alert. A typical example is Pretoria. I live in Pretoria. I did not get the sense that we are going to be having something that happened. It actually started in Atteridgeville. Few people started getting together, and the next moment it had spilled over to Pretoria. But our deployments, our people will continue to be mobilized to be able to action the plans, Honorable Chair. The Gauteng-based issues, I'm going to ask the colleagues to talk to. But I will want maybe just to say one thing in response to what Honorable Mbele has said. And it is painful to know that we are not being valued for the work that we are doing. It's as if everything that the police are doing is wrong. Everything is academic. The people that were talking earlier is a cluster commander who's much more closer to the situation. So if we at this level are maybe theoretical or academic, you can't get a much more practical person than a cluster commander and a station commander, because they are dealing with the issues of the day at that particular level. And Honorable Chair, the situation in Rosettenville, it's an unfortunate situation that happened. I was just looking at the work that they are doing. There is one individual, for example, let me not name them, who has been arrested 7 times by the police. The person has been on bail. What is it that the police must do? If information comes their way, they will do their work, they will go and arrest the person and take him to the court. Now, it can be that we illegally keep those people in custody if they are either granted bail or they have got a fine. But when it is reported to us, Honorable Chair, we are not going to say we are not going to take action against this particular person. Another person here, 11 cases, which means more than once this person has committed the very same. The second objective of the plan which was presented was looking at the repeat offenders. We do that because we know that they are the people who continue to be committing crimes. We need to do something about them. There is 2 individuals here with 5 cases. It is not, because these are dealing cases. It doesn't mean on the same day you find drugs in room 1, in room 2, room 3, and then it's 3 cases. It means on more than one instance, we would have done some work there, and we would have arrested the person, would have taken that person to court. Chair, I think at some time, at some point, it becomes too harsh on us as the police. And as said earlier, the problems that we are experiencing there are not solely policing issues. Honorable Ramatlakane raised a question about the hijackings of the buildings or the issue of the owners that do not even come forward. Those people, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, would have rented their houses out to someone who is busy with illegal transactions there. Now, it is not that one who is busy with an illegal transaction who is coming to report and say it is my place, because he or she knows that the police are following on him because of the drug dealing allegation which is being pursued. So the owners, the official owner, literally is not presenting him or herself to the police. Some of these buildings, Honorable Chair, it's houses that they were abandoned for one or other reason, and someone comes and takes occupation of that house, and they continue with their illegal transactions. Again, it's not solely a policing issue. There is a metro there. There is some people who are managing that metro who must ordinarily come to the fore in terms of playing their part in that regard. But unfortunately, you end up with this situation where the finger gets pointed at the police. We accept it's our responsibility to ensure that our people are safe. It's our responsibility to maintain order in our communities. But at some point, I think when we say these hurting things about the police, let's just somewhere consider that these are human beings. Not all of them are corrupt. Not all of them are useless. The majority of them are there to do work, and they must be given credit for the little that they are doing in those communities. These people that were arrested, Honorable Chair, did not walk themselves to the police station and hand themselves over. They did not walk themselves to a court. The police have taken them there. I just feel that it is too harsh towards the police, and always to be told that we are theoretical. Then let us be educated here. If that is the case. Honorable Chair, the hotline issue, I know that it was directed to the station commander, but that's one area that we must commend to the provincial commissioner and a team to have established and continue to communicate the hotline, which is sitting directly in the provincial commissioner's office, so that we are responding to all those issues that are not taken care of, whether at the 10111 center or at the police station level. So the hotline is there, it is operational, and just this morning before the session, I was following an interview of the provincial spokesperson communicating the details of that hotline, because there was a debate around there. The issue, Honorable Ramatlakane, of building relationship, I think it's very important. As we have acknowledged before, that we will not win the fight against crime on our own. But what was worrying for me in the Rosettenville situation, the first report that I got from the provincial commissioner was that some members of the CPF, together with the local community, are going to houses and they are busy burning the houses. It's a worry. I have, apart from what I was hearing from her, I was following the news, and the leader there who was addressing the community said, we have sent the CPF person to that particular house, to go and say to people, move out. It's a worrying issue. We do not expect that role to be played by our community policing forums. On the contrary, they are supposed to be working with us in calming the communities down. And for example, if there is a gap from the police side, let it be made visible, let it be escalated so that we can deal with that particular issue. But despite all that, we must continue to work with our communities to try and address the issue. I think I've dealt with the hijacking the issue that was raised. The raids, Honorable Mavija, I've taken note of the need in Limpopo. Somewhere, I think, when we talk to the festive season program, it will also talk to some of those raids that were mandatory to the provinces
for them to conduct, including the stops and searches and so on. But there will always be room for improvement, particularly in those troublesome areas. And I know, Honorable Marija, you'll be very grateful to know that Limpopo is doing exceptionally very well. When we presented here the last time, whether it was crime stats and so on, Limpopo was there at number 9. I don't want to say it loudly. I know General Dilange has got problems because Limpopo is moving past them like they are standing still in the work that they are doing together with the Northern Cape. I think we may have found the right formula in as far as Limpopo is concerned, and we are very grateful with the work that General Lidova does in the particular area. The Honorable Chair, I know you asked the question about whether the Lieutenant General responsible for management intervention has been there, but I will know that in that they would have been there. I think the Major General who sits in there, but it would have been one of the stations that is on the list of management intervention nationally to get there, and not just because we had this problem, it may be necessary that even General Kruse designate a specific team to look, because here we are communicating a plan. Someone must monitor and make sure that that plan becomes very effective. General Kruse had convened or taken the team, the provincial commissioner, and the management team to the Eastern Cape, the northern, what is it, the northern areas, Mount Road. Remember, we had the drug problem there, Honorable Chair, and I think some of the excellent work that was done in that area is worth transporting to the other areas. So the management team of Gauteng has been there to be exposed to what is it that was done in that particular area. We will continue to paint our streets blue. We fortunately have acquired more vehicles. We are in that process of making sure that they are being marked. Honorable Chair and members will recall that December 15th, we have graduated 5,000 new constables. They are deployed, and I see the provinces are doing us proud by not having abandoned the festive season plan in terms of the mode of deployment. In some areas, you still go to the malls, you find the police there. They still conduct those operations that we have dictated them. Let me check without further ado, maybe just leave an opportunity for General Dilange or the cluster commander or the station commander to respond to what I did not deal with.
Chair, thank you very much. I think my national commissioner have answered almost everything. Let me just add on the issue of the hotline that we have established in my office. Immediately after we attended a meeting of the community together with my MEC and the minister, I decided that, you know, because the community, most of the complaints were they have lost trust to the local police. They were saying they are reporting all these cases, but the local police are not reacting. So I initiated a hotline whereby I said to the community, talk directly to me so that I can monitor all these complaints. Out of the 280 complaints that I received from the hotline, only 4 of them are where the community were complaining about the police, that they are seeing the police vehicle in certain areas. And because I educated them to say, each and every police vehicle have got a call sign. Take the call sign of the vehicle, take the registration number of the vehicle, take the photo of the police that you are seeing in a certain area. We investigated all those cases only to find that those are the police that we have sent to those areas. Some of them were doing undercover operations. But I gave feedback back to them. But the 280 complaints that I received, that's when the community were giving me addresses of the trucks and we were very much successful. Immediately we went back to those addresses and we arrested prostitutes. We arrested the drug lords. Thank you very much, sir. I don't know whether I've left anything. Thank you, Chair.
Come on, Pastor, come on, anything else?
Thank you, Chairperson. No, everything is covered. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I'll give another round because this is a very important, I think, exercise, because a lot of, as I said, a lot of the urban areas is characterized by some of the issues. Yes, General, you wanted to respond.
Sorry, Chair. Honorable Mullah asked a question about the interventions to save the children as well as educational programs. We have, within the visible policing environment, established crime awareness directorate, and honorable members will recall that there is also one priority that we are pursuing from the school's perspective, to play a part there in the schools in educating and creating awareness around crime-related issues. We also have dictated to the provincial commissioners the outreach program, community engagement programs that they are to be doing. In a situation we find ourselves in as far as Rosettenville is concerned, while the tensions are high, you can't come in now with a crime awareness or educational program. First you reach the point of stability, and then you then come in with all those programs. Interventions are underway. For example, where young children are being used as sex workers and so on. We at times are caught in the middle. You recall one of the issues that the health authorities were not happy with the police on is the confiscation of condoms when you get to such places. To say, but we need to be leaving them there. But for us, it was a different issue that we are trying to address. But we subscribe to the strategy when it comes to HIV/AIDS prevention and so on. But from an investigation perspective, from a prevention perspective, there are some interventions that are ongoing in those areas. Thanks, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Bemis. We're going to the second round. Honorable Mullah.
Thank you, Chairperson. I've got one question. Today is the 21st of February. In the community demands, they said they expect a written response from SAPS within 7 days, of which is the 11th of February 2017. I want to know, did you send them that written response that they need? Thank you, Chairperson.
Bula, other members?
Thanks, Chair. I just wanted to check that my question around interventions to tackle allegations of police corruption had been fully answered in terms of the inputs that could come from the station and cluster management, because what I heard coming from General Delanga in particular was that there's a reporting hotline, which is to get the reports from the community, or the complaints from the community, and then there's undercover operations, which I assume means that's where they try to catch corrupt cops in the act. Is that it? Is there anything more to add?
Thank you, Honourable Ramatakane.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Just one question from the previous session. the Provincial Commissioner of Gauteng, in response to the question about relationship and feedback, response was that I only presented a report to Gauteng Cabinet once, and there was a year in it that was mentioned. That was 2015-16. And ever since that, there's not been any kind of a presentation of a report to Cabinet. And also, Farah said, I do meet with the MEC every Tuesday, 7 o'clock. Mm. The question that I have on that is, surely if there is every Tuesday's meeting, that feedback of crime and how Gauteng is progressing, positive progress made, should be reported to the MEC in those discussions, because those discussions should be centering around that.
Right.
And that should be the information that is carried over, that will find its way into SOPA, into State of the Province address, in terms of the crime situation. Perhaps there is something that, and you did also say that you do send emails or a report. You said you send report. I don't know the format, but let me not give it a name. You do send a report to the MEC. Perhaps there is a requirement, there is a discussion that is required. Because if that information has been able to filter through, surely the Premier would have had that kind of information into the State of the Province address. But as we sit here, it looks like there hasn't been that kind of information. I just want to just get your comment on that. But the last question on the current agenda item. Commissioner, in terms of the various act that we have in the country, if you have built up a case about the activities of a house number A, that crime is committed, drugs are peddling in this house, and you've built sufficient information about it, the law does give you the power to attach, to basically say this house now, state is doing X. I'm not hearing that coming out of this discussion. I'm not hearing that sufficient data has been built to be able to deal with the poker legislation around this issue, because obviously even the owner of the house, if they have rented out their house for activities of this nature, surely they will accept the implications and the consequences of a tenant who does something about that particular house. So why are we not attaching? Why are we not doing something about it, which is the law provider to do it? Or maybe it's too early. You are in the process of building that particular case. I'm sure the intelligence and the operative by now should have built a dossier of activities. Has that happened? Are we in the process of doing that, General? That's the question that I want to know. I just want to know action in relation to the law. Thank you.
Thank you, members. Maybe just to latch on, it's about CI and, again, capabilities at cluster level. I just want to get an indication whether there is sufficient levels of informants and well capacity. I saw the additional projects that's been registered, but can we just get an indication, Gauteng, from a CI perspective, are we out of the emergency room or the ICU? Where are we? That we can just get a sense, because that's the big issue. If it's not intelligence-driven operations, we're going to touch into the dark. So that's a critical factor. Honourable Mhlongo, you're the last one.
No, it's only one, Chair. What I wanted to find out, Chair, is because I think the acting commissioner came to my rescue insofar as transplanting the pilot project of the Eastern Cape to the area concerned. But what I wanted to find out is, I think if I am not mistaken, it was brought to our attention that in terms of the Tetra operations on the side of Eastern Cape as well as Gauteng was almost near completion. You know, why I'm raising this, Chairperson, is because, you know, I appreciate what the good work the Provincial Commissioner of Gauteng is doing, but in terms of ensuring management of the reporting and reaction by police in terms of response to the calls by community, which I think we were briefed thoroughly that the Tetra system gives or enhances proper management of the system itself, isn't it applicable in that particular area? So that maybe from the side of police, as the provincial commissioner is also acceding to the fact that there seems to be some kind of corrupt elements within the police who collude with this. But then if and only if the system itself is well monitored from the side of Tetra, then when people call and also the reaction time and how often, my question will be, how often do the police analyze the information that has gone through that system, even only if Tetra is actually then covering that particular area? Thanks.
That's an excellent question. That's a very good question, because you have now additional dial-up at the PC's office, but you've got the multi-million rand Tetra system in place. Yeah. Right, that is the questions, members, on this issue. General Pashan and your team, thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. Maybe starting with the last question by Honorable Mhlongo, we can confirm that the Tetra is fully operational, both in the Eastern Cape as well as in Gauteng. And the upgrade of the Gauteng Tetra has also been realized. So that's one area we can safely say that we are where we want to be. If there is a continuous need of further work, that will be carried through our programs. Honourable Chair, on the question of CI, I know that our expectations are on different levels. If you talk to those who are in the environment, they will say they are doing exceptionally very well. If you talk to a client like me, I'll say we are not. I still want more out of that environment. And it is for that reason that we have now taken our focus into that area and begin to look at the kinds of products that we are getting, whether those products allow that proactiveness, or are they pushing us to be reactive? So there is a serious interrogation which we are doing. I know the provincial commissioner will want to say she is happy or unhappy. I will not dictate to her to say which one, but from where I'm sitting, I think we can do better with the CI capability, considering what our investments are in that area. If you just look at what you pay for, what is it, informers and so on, it's huge amounts. Now, what we are beginning to interrogate is the return on investment. It's work which is underway, and we will get there. Maybe let the provincial commissioner chair, if she may respond to one or two issues that have been raised. Or maybe before she goes there, the issue of Honorable Mbele, I think it's covered when you spoke about corruption. To say that we have got the undercover operations and so on, we are not at liberty to make those details available at this stage because of the nature that of work which has been done to try and track those people that are responsible for unlawfulness in that area. It is in that context that earlier we spoke about having re-established anti-corruption capacity so that those individuals that are pointed at to be on the wrong side of the law, they could be followed up to avoid this situation of every time fingers being pointed at the police for wrongdoing, which is wrongdoing of some individuals. We also, we have now the new discipline regulations. They have been, we have revised what we had, council has approved, which provides for expedited processing or finalization of cases, which I think will help us not to keep people too long in the system who are on the wrong side of the law. Chair, I may allow the provincial commissioner.
Thank you very much, Chair. I would like to respond on the question about the feedback to the MEC. Chair, before the summer, MEC requested me to submit a report on the crime statistics for the past festive season. And she even further requested me to submit all the good successes that I have shared with her. I did submit a report about the crime statistics from the 1st of September up until December. It was submitted to her office because she said she was preparing a report for SONA. So I was shocked also when the Premier didn't mention anything about the report of the crime and also the successes that was achieved by the police. Thank you, Chair. On the issue of the memorandum that was supposed to be responded to within 7 days, I would like to give to the station commander to respond to it.
Honorable Chair, thank you very much for the opportunity. The memorandum that was received has been responded to. The agreement that I reached with the leader of that community that brought the memorandum was that I will call him, he will come and pick it up. I did give him a call, he hasn't yet come to pick it up. The day I expected him to come to pick it up, it was last week on Friday, on Thursday or Friday, between those 2 days he was supposed to come. But he hasn't come to pick it up, but it is ready, it has been done.
Honorable Chairperson, I also want to confirm that because the phone number that was given there, I also phoned the person. I know I had an interaction with him regarding the feedback because I wasn't satisfied with him not coming for the feedback. I wanted to lead a delegation of members to him because some of his demands, if you see what it was, and on the conversation with him on the phone, he also demanded that we must take away the houses and give it to other people, which was not our job. I also want to confirm that the CI, as the National Commissioner says, that it's a work in progress, and it is a work in progress for the third semester. Already 52 people is already being investigated. And then one more point on the crime prevention, visible policing directive for last financial year until February 16, 32 schools were visited where we had projects with school children regarding social crime prevention awareness campaigns, and all this was done with the educators of the school, with the NGOs like SANCA, together with the social crime prevention coordinators. So I just want to give my confirmation of CI. Yes, maybe we are not doing enough. We have done already 52 addresses. We have taken down drug dealers, and most of those arrests on the 360 are part of crime intelligence reports. Thank you, Chairperson.
There's just a follow-up from Honourable Mula and then Honourable Ramadakane. And then we will give the National Commission opportunity. Yes.
Thank you, Chairperson. Can we ask the Provincial Commissioner to submit the minutes of the meeting with the MEC? Because now we've got different stories. We wanted to know that is the, are they sitting or not? Thank you, Chairperson.
Ramadlakane, and if there's any other members, because I want to close this section, because we really need to move on to the next one.
No, Honourable Chair, I wanted just to remind the National Commissioner that about my second question.
Members, that's the questions? Yes. Yes, sir.
Thanks, Chair. That's why I was raising the hand, the one relating to the forfeiture of the asset. Honourable Chair, it was taken care of in the presentation where reference is made to the implementation of Chapters 5 and 6 of POCA, seizure of criminal assets. That work is being activated. Thanks, Chair.
Right, thank you, members. We come to the end of this part of the interaction with Moffat View Police Station. Thank you for the cluster commander and the station commander for attending, and also the provincial commissioner. We take note of the input. Of course, we will have to maybe visit that station maybe informally in the next few weeks. But I think what is quite important is, again, the trust between the community and the station. That's the responsibility of the station commander. The cluster commander must ensure that happens. And we can't have a situation where something erupts and now suddenly we go after the drug dens and all the illegal activities in the police precinct. That must happen on a daily basis, and that's why the provincial commissioner must monitor police stations, and of course management intervention should keep a close eye, because that's the danger. If there's concerns from the community, if there's complaints, it must be followed up. If there's corrupt police, they must be investigated, they must be removed. So thank you for that. Members, we've got not a lot of time left, about 40 minutes if you want to finish at 4:40. So I'm going to ask the operational safer festive season. Let's have that. I think we need more time for the crime stats, more time, because I also want the researchers to give their perspective. So we'll slot it in the next 3 weeks sometime, that we can have a proper discussion. Because I think the issue of the report by Stats SA raise other dynamics, and we'll have to discuss that also more in detail, and also I also want the researchers to address us on that. So let's have the operation festival season, because we also close now to Easter in the next month or two. So let's have that presentation now, and then we'll deal with the other issues at a later date. Thank you.
Honourable Chair, thanks very much. It's actually a blessing in disguise that we are not presenting the crime statistics, because tomorrow we are before the JCPS Cabinet Committee to present the third quarter. So what we will have presented today, which has served before Cabinet, are the first two quarters, in other words, the first two quarters. But when we do the presentation, the next one, we will have already received approval for the period up to the end of December. So it's good for us and good for the country. Chair, may I allow General Ravi to run through the presentation?
Honourable Chair and members of the committee, good afternoon. Given the time constraints that are applicable to this, I will run through this presentation as quick and painless as possible, to just highlight the critical issues and not go into the detail as far as every slide is concerned. Basically, what we're going to present is, first of all, the approach that we followed, the specific successes achieved, and then a quick overview of crime that will also touch on the impact that we had over the last three quarters of the current financial year, and then end with a conclusion. As far as the operational methodology is concerned, not going into all the detail, what was important to implement is an approach that goes beyond the normal call of duty, and that we had to ensure that there's stability in the country over the festive season. And we also had to take due consideration of specific service delivery protests, Fees Must Fall, and other campaigns that were applicable at the time. We used an interdepartmental approach that was coordinated by the National Joint Intelligence Operational Structures, and the duration of the festive season operation started in October 2016 and ended in January 2017. There were several factors that we as South African Police Service had to take into consideration during the, and what will impact on the festive season operations. It's specifically your shopping and entertainment that takes place over the season, the increased movement of large sums of money, the cash demand that is driving sales over the specific season, the influx of visitors and tourists to specific areas within the country, the increased traffic volumes on our national routes, migrant workers across borders, the women, children, and other vulnerable groups that are targeted over this period, and then current campaigns that were applicable at the time of the specific operations. The operational approach consisted basically of six pillars. In the first pillar, we focused on aggravated robberies. The second pillar talked to the border security, management of border security. Pillar three talked to the firearm control, second-hand goods, and safety at sports and recreational events. Pillar four, we talked to the crime against women and children and persons with disabilities. Pillar five, your bylaw enforcement. And pillar six, your road safety management or enforcement. Now, the operational characteristics associated with the approach that we followed, overall, the approach was to ensure high visibility in targeted areas, but it was also important that this deployment should be informed by the relevant crime and intelligence assessments. The types of deployments that we used over the season included your normal roadblocks, vehicle control points, patrol, stop and search operations, as well as specialized operation with the necessary support from public order policing and the special task force. Targeted deployment was also done, taking into consideration all the force multipliers that we have available to ensure that we have optimal deployment. During this period, we also used our newly trained constables that were deployed under supervision in a coordinated manner. We also focused on specific hotspots, and it is important to note that the deployment varied from province to province based on the specific crime threat and intelligence analysis associated with the respective provinces. Focused also on the tracing of wanted persons, once again, intelligence-driven operations. We also had the deployment of our senior managers in the respective provinces to oversee these operations. The senior managers that were deployed included the acting national commissioner, the deputy national commissioners, divisional commissioners, and provincial commissioners. And we also had a deployment of personnel that were working at or are currently working at head office. What is important to note is that we granted the majority of the public order policing personnel leave over the festive season for the purpose of making sure that they recover and be ready for the anticipated process that might take place in January with specific reference to the Fees Must Fall campaign. Now, as far as the deployment of new constables are concerned, you will note that we deployed a total of 4,953. The bulk of them were deployed in Gauteng, 1,519, followed by the Western Cape, 1,065, and KZN with 753. The operational activities over this festive season, it's quite a notable number. In total, we had a total of 705,639 activities or police actions over the festive season. And you will note it's indicated in the respective province and it's broken down into the roadblocks, so vehicle control points, patrols, and stop and search operations. Just to highlight the two provinces, you will note in KZN and Western Cape, where we had the highest number of patrols the blue bar in KZN and the yellow bar, the stop and search operations in the Western Cape, just to highlight some of the activities. And it is important to note that as we continue with these with the presentation, was the impact of these activities in these respective provinces. Police searches, in total, the police searches conducted amounted to 2.4 million, and it's broken down into persons, vehicles, and premises, and you will note that the highest number of searches conducted was in Mpumalanga, KZN, followed by Western Cape and Limpopo, with the specific focus on persons. In Mpumalanga, a total of 402,000, KZN 240,000, Western Cape 255,000. Vehicles, just to note, in Mpumalanga, 145,000, 107,000 in KZN. And the premises, the highest number we have is in KZN, a total of 7,184. As far as the total operational activities are concerned, just to give you a breakdown in terms of the respective provinces, as I indicated, a total of 705,000 police actions and searches 2.4 million. The highest is in KZN in terms of police actions, 251,000, followed by 355,000 searches, followed by Western Cape, 198,000 police actions, 342,000 searches, Limpopo, 51,000 police activities, searches, 333,000, Free State, 50,000 police activities, searches, 200,000, Eastern Cape, 39,000 police actions, 188,000 searches conducted. Gauteng, 37,000 police actions, 266,000 searches conducted. Free State, 50,000 police activities and searches, 200,000. And then Mpumalanga with 30,000 police actions and 550,000 searches that has been conducted. And then lastly, we have the Northwest Province with 11,000 police actions and 96,000 searches conducted. So in terms of the successes achieved over the festive season, first of all, if we look at the total number of arrests that were made, the total is 83,479, of which the highest was recorded in the Western Cape, a total of 19,625. Followed by KZN with 16,760 and Gauteng province with 10,412. The arrest per crime category, this is just the same figure broken down into the different types of arrest. What we do here, Jefferson, we focus on police action, arrests as a result of police action, property-related crimes, contact-related crimes and contact crimes, as well as other serious crime. Now, as I indicated in the previous slide, the highest number of arrests was in the Western Cape, followed by KZN and Gauteng. If you look at the bar for the Western Cape, you will know that the dominant color there is blue, and that refers to police action. So they had the highest number of arrests as a result of police action. That relates to drug-related crime, illegal possession of firearm, etc. In KZN, you will note that the larger portion of the bar is red, so that refers to contact crime. So they've made the highest number of contact crime arrests in the country, just to highlight those two categories. We also highlight the activities of the FCS units over this specific period. The total number of arrests made by FCS is 1,338, of which 414 were made in Gauteng, Western Cape, 244, KZN, 204. Vehicle seizures. We look at two types of vehicles or two categories. Number one is the red portion of the bar is vehicles that were involved in the commission of a crime, and the blue one refers to vehicles that were reported as either stolen or robbed. And you will note the highest number of seizures were made in KZN, a total of 38 vehicles in the commission of crime and 203 stolen vehicles, followed by the Eastern Cape with 23 and 105 in the two categories, and Gauteng, 8 and 78 stolen and robbed vehicles. So in total, we recovered over this period 669 vehicles within those two categories. Firearms, recovery of firearms. What we do is we look at a couple of categories: homemade firearms, auto, semi-automatic firearms, shotguns, rifles, and handguns. In total, the firearms seized amounted to 1,060, and you will note that the highest number of seizures were made in KZN, followed by the Eastern Cape in Gauteng. In the majority of the in all provinces, you will note that the blue color is the dominant one, and that refers to handguns that has been seized in the respective provinces. And in total, KZN is 302, followed by the Eastern Cape with 160 and Gauteng with 102. Ammunition, there's also the highest number of seizures made is in the KZN with 2,699, Western Cape 1,755, and Eastern Cape 1,081. The total that we seized over the festive season amounts to 8,691. Explosives, there are two categories, it's hand grenades and commercial explosives. KZN, we have the highest now in the seizure. There were 6 commercial explosive units seized. In Gauteng, 4 commercial explosive units. Limpopo, 1 hand grenade and 1 unit of commercial explosives. In total, that was 14 as far as the total country is concerned. When we look at the controlled metal seizures over this period, in total, if you look at the total at the top there, it was 1,962 kilograms of metal that we seized. Basically, it refers to copper cable, copper in other formats, and then your aluminium. And the highest number of, or the highest weight of seizures that we have is in Mpumalanga, followed by KZN and Limpopo. So in total, 1.9 tons of controlled metal seizures. Livestock, a total of 608. The highest number is in KZN. We look at other livestock, sheep and goat and cattle. In KZN, 178 sheep and 218 cattle, followed by Free State, 90 sheep or goats, and then in total 12 cattle. And then the last or the third one is then sheep, goats 53 in the Eastern Cape. So here we also have KZN as the leading province as far as that is concerned. Illicit drug seizures, grams, Chair, with your permission, I would not like to go into the detail. Yeah. There's a lot of detail in the drugs there. I think what we need to note is the provinces where we have the highest number, previous slide, Mpumalanga, Western Cape and KZN. The next slide is mandrax. We had quite a notable seizure in the Western Cape, a total of 538,000 mandrax tablets over that specific period. Next one. The notable successes that we recorded over the season, on 15 December, a drug laboratory has been closed to the total value associated with that was 2.8 million, and that was in Gauteng. In Limpopo, stolen goods and drugs seized during operations to the total value of 5 million. In Mpumalanga, on 14 December, illicit drug and cash seizures to their value of 137,000 and 118,000 respectively. KwaZulu-Natal, on the 1st December, 2 cop killers were arrested and firearms recovered. And the 12th of December, disruption of an ATM attacked 8 suspects that were fatally wounded during that operation. In the Eastern Cape, on the 27th of December, we had stabilized the St. Albans prison unrest. In the Free State, on the 5th of December, during December, 5 murder and business robbery suspects apprehended and firearm recovered. In the Western Cape, on the 18th of November, a drug dealer arrested. That refers to one incident with a total of 31,000 mandrax tablets to the value of 900,000. And then 17 October, in the Northern Cape, cannabis seized to the value of 250,000. And also in the same province, on the 19th of December, armed robbers apprehended and 450,000 rand was recovered in that operation. As far as the crime is concerned, next slide. There's an overall reduction in the levels of community-reported crimes during the festive season. If we look at contact crime, there was, if we compare the festive season, that covers the last quarter of the calendar year compared to the same period in the previous, in 2015. Contact crime was reduced with 5.3%. Contact-related crime was reduced with 5.4%. Property-related crime was reduced with 2.2%. And other serious crime reduced by 5.3%. And then also important, as far as the crimes dependent on police action is concerned, with specific emphasis on drugs, it increased with 8.4% over that period. Chair, I'm not going to go through the detail. I think by now you know what the different categories are. This is very important because this slide indicates if you look at the blue bars represents a comparative analysis looking at the three quarters of the current financial year versus the three quarters of the previous financial year. If we look at the blue bar, that was the first quarter. So overall in the first quarter compared to the same period in the previous financial year, there was an increase in crime in all four categories. 2.2% contact crime, 2% contact-related crime, property crime went up with 1.8%, and other serious crime went up with 0.6%. Fortunately, we were in a position to turn the situation around. So in the second quarter, the gray bars, compared with the second quarter in 2015-16, contact crimes showed a decrease of 1.7%, contact-related crime 3.7% down, property-related crime 0.2% down, and other serious crime down with 2.3%. The success rate, as far as that is concerned, increased further in the third quarter compared to the third quarter of the previous financial year. In the third quarter, as I indicated, contact crime went down with 5.3%, contact-related with 5.4%, property-related with 2.2%, and 5.3% reduction in other serious crimes. If we go into the detail of the respective crimes, if we just compare quarter three in the last 3 years, you will note that from 2014-15 there was an increase in quarter three going to 2015-16, but in the 2016-17 financial year we see a decrease of 5.3%. In all 3 months, if we compare the months October, November and December with the same months in 2015, in all 3 months there's a notable decrease, 2.8% in October, November 4.8%, and a large increase, a decrease of 7.8% in December. All the provinces, I'm not going to go into the detail, I believe this is available to everyone, all the provinces recorded a decrease as far as contact crimes are concerned in the third quarter of the current financial year. Moving to contact-related crime, there was an increase from 2014-15 going to 2015-16 of 1.5%. That situation has been turned around to a 5.4% decrease in the third quarter of 2016-17. As far as the 3 months are concerned, October, November, December, in all 3 months there was a decrease in reported crime with the highest 7.6 in November and December, a decrease of 7.5% compared to December the previous financial year. 7 of the 9 provinces recorded a decrease in reported crime with the highest with 17% in the Free State, Limpopo 13%, and also notable Gauteng with an 8% decrease. However, 2 provinces, namely the Western Cape, we see an increase of 1.4% and the Eastern Cape a 3.5% increase. Property-related crime, there was a decrease in the past 3 years. In the last financial year, we recorded a decrease of 2.2% if we compare the third quarters of the respective financial years. We look at the details. All 3 months, October, November, and December, we see a decrease in reported crime, with December the highest number recorded is 4.3%. In property crime, however, it's notable that in 3 of the 9 provinces, we see an increase in reported crime. If we look at the good story first, Western Cape, we see a decrease of 7%, Limpopo 6% down, KZN with 5% down. However, in Gauteng, there's a 1.9% increase, Eastern Cape 3%, and Northwest 3.7%. Other serious crime, we also note a decrease in quarter threes of all the last 3 financial years, with a 5.3% decrease in the last financial year. The monthly comparisons, October, November, December, there's a 6%, 3.6%, and in December, a 6.3% decrease in the reported crime. If we look at the provincial breakdown as far as other serious crime is concerned in the third quarter, it's noted that all 9 provinces recorded a decrease, with the leading province, Northwest, with 11% decrease, Free State 8% down, Gauteng is 6.9% down, Western Cape 5.1% down. Crimes detected as a result of police action, with specific focus on drug-related crime, there was a decrease. Honorable members and chair of the committee, this year we would like to see an increase in reported crime. So in going from 2014-15 to 15-16, there was a decrease of 0.4%. We turned that situation around to an 8.4% increase in the 2016-17 financial year. So in all 3 months, October, November, and December, there was a 9.7, a 5.8, and a 9.6% increase and the number of crimes detected as a result of police action. All the provinces except Gauteng reported or recorded an increase, Limpopo with the highest with 22%, Free State 22%, Mpumalanga 16%. The only province where we see a decrease over this period is Gauteng, where there was a 0.3% decrease in crimes as a result of police action. In conclusion, Honourable Chair, the closing remarks, we can attribute the success that we see as far as the crime is concerned to the high visibility, the targeted deployment of personnel, and also very focused operations. All the operations that were initiated during this period was intelligence-driven operations. We had also effective coordination with all stakeholders involved in the process. And lastly, but I think the most important part, is that there was a hands-on command and control by respective senior managers at national and provincial level. During the festive season, we also got very positive feedback back from communities during specific operations and also on the social media. And as such, we continue to commit ourselves to creating, to continue as far as possible this operational approach and continued future cooperation with our external stakeholders and the optimal deployment of all available resources. And that just confirms our commitment to Vision 2030 that we as the South African Police Service want to ensure that we create a safe and secure environment in South Africa for all people. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. That is the presentation. Members, let's go to questions, queries, responses. Honourable Bele.
Thanks, Chair. Just one very quick, simple one at this point. I'm still paging back and forth to look at the actual figures. But can I just get clarity on what is a vehicle control point as distinct from a roadblock? I would, if I hadn't been told differently, I would have assumed they were the same thing. So can I just get clarity on what the difference is between a roadblock and a VCP? Because I think I saw somewhere that the figures for both of those were not the same. That's all for now, Chair.
Thank you. Other members, questions? Yes, Honourable Mabija.
Thank you, Chairperson. On page 22, on Nyaupe, I say Limpopo has got 500 taking number 3. But when I look at those graphs, I see Limpopo very low. Can you just explain the graphs and those numbers? How do they connect? Thank you.
Other members? Yeah, maybe just two from my side. In terms of, yes, I think we note the report and the progress, and I think there was, I also saw over the festival period, good visibility. But the one important thing is the lessons learned and employing them in the day-to-day operations of SAPS, because it's about employment, high visibility. That's what the community want. And I mean, we saw now the figures of your new recruits, the 5,000. Can I just get them maybe from a strategic point of view? What is the takeaways from this festival season? You've indicated your numerical and statistical successes compared to the previous period, but I want to, from a high-level strategic perspective, what do you take away from this festival period against the others to ensure better policing back to basics? I just want to get a sense of that in terms of that. And then the budget implications. Was there more spent in terms of your deployment, senior staffing to other provinces? I just want to get a sense from a financial perspective. How did it influence your bottom line, moving people around? On Mula?
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for your presentation and your hard work. But I'm confused here, Chairperson. What I wanted to see is that, like in slide 24, they say notable successes. They rate the successes on dates and provinces. But I wanted to see here is that from all your operation, how many people did you arrested, and how much drugs did you have and everything. Not like this, because I can't see what is happening. Thank you, Chairperson. From each provinces, because there were roadblocks in Mpumalanga, I saw them. Roadblocks in Gauteng, I saw them. What is the overall successes? Not like this one, because I'm confused now about the days, the 17, the 18. What about the other days, the first or the second or what? I don't know, Chairperson. Thank you.
On Mushlong, and then again on Mbele.
No, thanks, Chairperson. No, what I wanted to find out, Chairperson, is the sustainability. I think in the first place, one need to recommend the good work that members have actually displayed. I personally, I must say, Chairperson, you could just see members everywhere you go, particularly in busy areas. And there was that really visibility of members in most of their areas. I even know I heard over the radio, whereas I was at home, that there was an explosion, a bomb explosion here in Vangate in Western Cape. But then when one was following, then you could just realize the intervention by members, that it was quite speedy and quite prompt. But again, if you take, for example, the situation, I want to learn from the side of national management. When there was an upsurge of murder cases, particularly in areas like Cleveland, I understand that the interventions that were made were quite prompt and quite effective. When you pulled out and I understand, Chairperson, that again you will see a relaxation of the muscle in the area of Cleveland. Now, what could be then the kind of lessons learned at a national level after good work by intervention unit, and when you pull out, then you get maybe the situation sliding more or less to the former situation? What kind of lessons and what kind of actions are taken? Because I'm just making example, Chairperson, about the Cleveland, but I think I'm using it as a test case to say in various areas you will find more or less the same the same thing, to say when resources have been pulled up and when members are pulled back, those from the national intervention level, then you get to the situation turning back to what it was. What are the observations from the side of national management of things that will have to be done in order to sustain that particular pace to stamp out these rock elements in these areas? Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thanks, Chair. It was just a quick second question that occurred to me after I had posed my first one. I don't think it's necessarily a big issue or a systemic issue, but I just remembered a complaint that I received in mid-December, a phone call concerning a roadblock in Mpumalanga. I think it was just outside Emalahleni, where a roadblock had been set up. It was a joint operation with the traffic police service. But it was a complaint from the owner of a petrol station, where the manner in which the roadblock had been set up was basically blocking traffic or creating traffic problems for vehicles to go into and out of the petrol station. There hadn't been consultation, and it was just creating a problem that need not have been the case in the context of the roadblock operation being set up. So I just wanted to get a sense of the policy guidelines and the approach to consultation. I mean, obviously, it's unavoidable that a roadblock will create bottlenecks and obstructions. That's kind of the point. But just the sensitivity contextually to how that approach is in place, so that that can be avoided as much as possible. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, members. General Paslani and your team, thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. I think it is correct to start by applauding the South African Police Service for a job well done. And the mere fact that the presentation would have confirmed that crime in all categories, in all provinces, was reduced, and they continue to do work. Maybe just on the last one that the Honorable Bella raised, no, we don't negotiate where we do roadblocks. Because if criminals come into that filling station, they don't negotiate. It is a strategic decision and an operational decision which gets taken as to where to conduct that particular roadblock. Of course, what is encouraged is that there should be an engagement to create an understanding with the people that will be affected, especially in that immediate vicinity. Because roadblocks or operations by nature will be an inconvenience to those that are on the receiving side, particularly the law-abiding citizen. You will want to know, but why am I stopped? Because I've got everything. But it is critical that we do that. To be able to do a check. So in those situations, we would encourage those that are aggrieved. For example, if a roadblock is set up, there will be someone in command there, that that person be approached and let the issue be raised. If it is something that we can attend to, it will definitely be dealt with on the ground, so that we lessen the tensions amongst us. Because while we are looking for those that are on the wrong side of the law, it is also important that we build relations and instill confidence in our communities. The one question that Honorable Bella raised was the distinction between the vehicle control point and a roadblock. The vehicle control point is more mobile, where you have the roadblock. It's it has got everything in it. It is properly planned. There are road signs. You get the cones. You know, you get it's much more bigger than just your vehicle control point. So if it is a vehicle control point, I think you will find at some point maybe just the traffic or the police who are there stopping and checking, do you have a license and so on, and that's the vehicle control point that you are talking about. I will want Leon just to explain slide number 22, but let me deal with these other issues. Honorable Mona, on slide number 24, what is there could be made, that's why it's phrased as notable successes or highlights. We try to take from each province something of significant that they have done during the operation. There on the 17th of October, 250,000 cannabis seized in the Northern Cape. So we were not trying to map out everything what happened on each day, but it is what is it that the province is celebrating out of their operations, and this is what we try to do. The need that we have expressed in terms of the overall successes, it is expressed, for example, in slide number 13, you have got the number of arrests, 83,479, and there is a breakdown per province as to how many of those people were arrested per province. You the next slide will show you total arrests per crime category, and then you'll go arrest by FCS unit and so on. So those that need has been taken care of in the alias line. Honourable Chair, the issue of lessons learned. In the conclusion, General Rabi, amongst others, spoke to the hands-on approach by senior management. If there is one period where one was appreciating the role of senior management, it is over this period when we were implementing this program, because you did not find them in the offices. They were in the main on the ground. You saw them leading operations. You saw the engagement that we need with communities and so on. So that's one area which I felt that it is something to be carried forward. I, for example, in interacting with the provincial commissioners, got a sense of people who are on the ground and enjoying what they were doing. There was even a healthy competition among themselves in terms of who's achieving more. So I think that working together helped, from a team building perspective. The fact that we were able to deploy the senior managers, who I appreciate, were readily available to go to the provinces, and they did not go there and take over from the provincial commissioners. They understood their role, and they worked together well with the provinces. I think that was important. Those are some of the lessons, but also the not just doing deployment for the sake of deployment. Deployments were informed by intelligence. Where are our challenges? The situation was analyzed. That's why we spoke about targeted deployments. And the mere fact that the concentration was not in one area. You move to different areas. The one moment you are in the malls, the one moment you are on the road in the residential areas. Went down well in as far as increasing visibility is concerned. Police were visible all over. The feedback we got was very, very encouraging, contrary to the belief of few. But the majority would have noted the work that the South African Police Service has done. And, Chair, what we did was to, and the Provincial Commissioner of Gauteng is here, we have sent to all the provincial commissioners, do not cease to realize this plan. I know, for example, Gauteng continues. It did not take the new constables and place them in shifts at each and every station. They continue to do operations in the malls. They do a flexi hour informed by the crime situation in that particular area. Amongst others, that is why they are beginning to make a dent on the crime situation. So the best practices that came out of the implementation year of continues to be carried forward. We have decided that we don't need a break between the festive season and the Easter holidays, where our deployment was on the peak, and now we lose everything. We go Easter, we have to start from scratch. We have said, for us to make progress, let's continue on that. And in the main, the provinces are doing exactly that. We don't have the figures here, Chair, but it would have had financial implications in that there has been, what is it, over time, the senior managers, and it was not only the lieutenant generals or the divisional commissioners or deputy national commissioners. You also had some brigadiers to specific areas. So from a financial perspective, it had some impact. Also, looking at the number of vehicles that were on the road, the number of hours that they have traveled. But I'll maybe allow General Skete to talk to that. I think General Ravi, if you can deal with slide number 22, Honorable Mabisa's question, and then maybe General Skete, if we could give an indication if you have some figures on the financial implications. Thanks, Chair.
Well, Chair, it is correct when you look at the graph that the grams that were seized in Nyope in the Limpopo province, it amounts to 500 grams. And the reason why it's not clearly visible on the graph is because the remaining provinces, the quantities are significantly higher. That is why you see the Mpumalanga, for instance, CAT, you have the grams associated with that is 143,000, while cannabis is much higher, and the same applies to Limpopo province. You will note that there's a slight little yellow bar at the top of the part of the bar on Limpopo, and that represents Nyope seizures. But it's not, the graph illustrates it in context or in relation to the remaining provinces, or all nine provinces, and it's also in relation to the different categories of crime. That is why it's, because of the amount, 500 grams, it is not as visible on the graph. Thank you.
General Skete, the last one, because we need to, there's other meeting starting, I think, at 1 o'clock, so we've got 3 minutes to finalize. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thanks, National Commissioner. Yes, sir. At the beginning of the festive season here, beginning of December, we did a performance review, expenditure analysis, and we then added approximately 170 million to the nine provinces and three operational divisions budgets for overtime, and then also in the vicinity of 14 million for goods and services. But the biggest expenditure related to overtime in this regard. Members must just remember also that we had a local election for which we also had to cater for. So also based on that, we needed to supplement. But I think one can say, because it was during December, sir, and normally this festive season scenario is until the end of January, but as you've seen, some of the provinces might even have stretched it some a bit further. I think we can go in the vicinity of 170 million. That's what we allocated in an official allocation letters for overtime, and approximately 14 million for goods and services.
Right. Yes, General,
is
there something else?
The question by Honorable Mhlongo is not responded to in as far as sustainability and Cleveland's. The work we did in Cleveland's, Honorable Chair, continue to be filtered into what we are doing going forward. It is not possible to keep the force levels as high as they were, but we will continue to revisit that situation to deal with the incidence of crime. And maybe, Chair, just lastly, I have taken note of the observation on the Stats SA, the Victim of Crime Survey. We will appreciate if there are specific issues around which we must brief the committee, if those issues can be raised with us, for us to incorporate them in the work that we are currently busy with to try and understand what that survey had said from a policing perspective. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Members. Thank you to the Acting National Commissioner and his team for the meeting. I think we made some headway in dealing with some very essential matters at station level, provincial level, and of course also looking at the national picture in terms of the festival season. Thank you very much. Honourable members, we will then meet Tuesday morning, 10 o'clock. There's four petitions that we need to deal with. Four petitions, and I think on the Wednesday, we've got DPCI coming to us on progress with the specialized units. So, General, you're going to be with us, so we're looking forward to that as well. So, thank you very much, and I can just say good luck with the budget this afternoon for everybody. Thank you. Meeting is closed.
Follow up with some of the